Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hi everyone, today's guest is Luna, who is a professional astrologer and mystic mentor for spiritual women who desire to manifest a mystical life. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And can you tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do?
Yeah, I'm like, that's me. That pretty much sums it up. I was just talking to a girlfriend saying how stoked I am on intuition and astrology. So hearing that played back at me, I was like, yeah, that's exactly who I am. That's just me. I'm an astrologer for mystical women, for witches. I help women who want to live a magical life, and we do ritual, we do magical things, we talk about astrology, we learn witchcraft, and that's my life. Isn't that crazy that that's my job? Like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's awesome. It is so cool when you get to like make what you love doing your actual job and get paid for stuff like that. So, what was the process of making that an actual job and getting paid?
Yeah, I know that a lot of people are interested about that because it's kind of like, you know, when you say like, oh, like I'm in love and I have this amazing partner. Like, people always ask me, where did you meet him? Right. Like, what they, and I think that people ask that because they want to know, you know, they want to hear that it's possible for them too. So who's ever listening, like, you can totally do whatever the fuck you want. Just saying, and to just go after your dreams. And I think, like, for me, the process of becoming an astrologer and becoming a witchcraft mentor, whatever you want to call me, mystical person mentor, is really just having that clarity on this is what I'm doing. This is who I am. This is what I love. And nothing's really going to stop me. Nothing's going to get in my way. I'm just going to do the thing. So I kind of, you know, I have a whole bunch of different stories of how I got there, but honestly, I think that how I want to answer that today is really about having that clarity and that self-permission to living the life that you want to do, and having the mindset of what would a successful person do? What would a successful astrologer be like? Like, what are they doing every day? So that was kind of like the mindset that I put myself in once I decided that I wanted to be an astrologer. And, you know, I think that we're all inherently magical. We kind of just forget that that's a part of us. So once I remembered that, it was really just this process of dedication. You know, I hired a mentor and spent like thousands and thousands of dollars on myself when people thought I was crazy. And, you know, I just was like, no, my heart says this, my intuition says this, and my birth chart says this. So I'm just gonna do this thing. And I think a lot of people aren't willing to go on the ride of life. And I feel very much on for the ride. I'm like, I'm on that roller coaster, and I'll just strap in and I'll just like trust that everything's going to be okay. And even when it doesn't go okay, I have tools, I have resources, I've like intelligently set up a life that will allow failure in some ways. I mean, I don't allow failure in my life, but it will allow readjustments along the way, that when things aren't just going up and up and up, that you can actually just like still be cool, you know, rather than just freaking out and be like, I'm a phony, I'm not good at anything, am I even cut out for this, I'm not making as much money as I did last time, or whatever. That I think that I'm just along for the journey. And I think that a lot of people expect it to be a certain way, or they can freak out. And so I think that it is really important to understand that doing what you love is generally going to be against the norm and against what other people are doing. So really finding your own path and trusting in it, like, that's the process. That's my secret. So yeah, I don't know if that is the good enough answer for you. I could always elaborate, but that's what came out of my mouth today.
I mean, I think it's really like trusting yourself is the main message. So yeah, definitely. And I wonder, like, because I've had other people on who have talked about like having this type of business, and how hard it is to talk to other people about it or to be around a quote unquote normal group of people. And like, do you ever get that? And how do you deal with like talking about what your job is if people just don't get it?
Oh my God. I actually love this question because I have specially curated my life that everybody around me gets it. Or everybody around me knows who I am. They know what I'm about. They, including my family. And that obviously was a process, but the people in my life, like I'm in a very secluded community that of like-minded weird people. So people don't even bat an eye anymore when I tell them what I do, especially when I was living in Bali for a couple of years. People were like, oh yeah, you're an astrologer and you teach witchcraft. Like, yeah, that's like normal. Not normal, but like they didn't bat an eye at it. And I think like, I guess where I learned or how I created that was I really just didn't have time for people who questioned my magic, didn't see my magic, or needed just like this fucking long-winded explanations of what I do. I'd just be like, oh, I don't have time for this. Like, I'm fucking busy. I got shit to do. Like, I don't have time to convince you or teach you or anything. You have to figure it out yourself, or you have to freaking pay me. Cause it's like, that's the, so basically I just tell people I'm an astrologer. Like if I, you know, I was at like physio the other day and I'm just like, I'm an astrologer. Like the guys are like, what do you do? What's your job? And I'm like, I'm an astrologer. And I don't know if they actually, I used to just say I was a coach and I don't know if people know what that is necessarily. I do live in this like hippie town now, but people are just like, oh yeah, cool. Great. Or sometimes people are like, oh yeah, I'm a Gemini. Can you tell me about that? Or and it's just really great. So frankly, like the people that, you know, they, let's say they hate astrology or they don't like witchcraft or they don't get it, or I kind of just walk away from those people. Like I said, I don't really have time for that. But if they're open, like obviously we can talk and I have so much to share and I'm just like such a nerdy person that I love to just teach, but it has to be feeling like safe and open and good. And I actually just don't waste my time with people who question me or are just weird vibes. So
yeah, I mean, that's kind of like, you have really strong boundaries then, which is awesome and great. And you said something about when people find out you're an astrologer, they ask you like, oh well, this is my sign. Do you have a hard time, because with service-based things, like I read tarot and everyone just is like, oh well, you can do it for free. How do you set that hard line of like, no, but you have to pay me, you know? Yes. Even if we're friends or whatever, it's still a service.
Yeah, this has like been a huge theme for me. And I think it's funny because when I first started reading tarot, because that's what I did first, I didn't have the courage to do birth chart readings. People would be like, I'd be at a party and they'd be like, oh, like you're the girl that like does tarot. Can you just like whip out a card for me? And I'd be like, are you serious right now? Like I'm about to like decode your soul and you just want me to like whip out a fucking card in this non-sacred space. So yeah, I would actually just explain it to them like that. Obviously I'm feeling a little bit silly today and I have a lot of energy, but I would like actually be like, hey, you know, thank you so much. I'm so excited that you're interested in this. And you know, my readings are actually a really sacred and transformational experience. And I actually, this is what I do for a career. This is why I charge money for this. And you actually won't get the same results if I just pull a random card for you at a party. So what would be actually amazing is that if you have a question or you're looking for clarity or you want certain guidance in your life, you can reach out to me. I would love to book a session with you. You know, I have a few spaces available left like next week, and we can talk about what you're wanting to have some clarity or support on. Tarot is amazing. It blah, 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 blah. It does this and this and this. This is the transformation it can provide you. And you just lay it the fuck down. Because again, I don't have time for this. No, I'm just teasing. But I, yeah, like especially as I got more successful and people started booking readings, it was amazing how that kind of just stopped the asking for free readings, and people all of a sudden started to see me as like really, really credible. And the more I was consistent, the more I showed up online, the more people were talking about me, the more I shared client results and testimonials, the more people were like, Luna is the girl to go to if you need anything related to tarot or astrology. I don't do tarot readings anymore, but that was just how it naturally developed because I claimed my own authority and people knew that they had to pay me and people knew that I didn't do trades and people knew that it was my full-time career. And, you know, I still have like friend discounts, but it's still decently high. And there's just, there's no shame there. You're just like, hey, like you pay $100 an hour for a massage. So what about something that's even more specialized? That's promised to be like a life-changing experience where I'm like reading your soul, like when I'm relating to astrology, giving you complete guidance and direction for your whole life. It's actually a priceless experience. So then generally people are like, I really love you and respect you and I want to support you and I'm so excited to do this. And so the most healing thing in the world is when friends do pay for your services. My best friend, when I was living back in Victoria, BC, like I lived with my best friends, a bunch of us in a house together. And she literally lived upstairs from me and she would like come down and she'd be like, you want to do like a tarot reading? And she would do this like regular with me and she would pay me, you know, she would literally, because there's a different type of relationship that happens when you're sitting down with someone who's fully focusing on you. They're giving you advice. They're helping you, like giving you ritual techniques. You're reading cards. They're using your expertise versus like two girlfriends just hanging out and chatting and giggling about boys. Or even if you need support with something, like there's like a sacred container that gets opened up when someone says, yes, I'm going to pay for this. There's value there. Like all of a sudden they're listening. All of a sudden they're taking notes. All of a sudden they show up for the call and they're not late. So there, I do believe that there is a sacred exchange that happens with money that a lot of people actually aren't tuned into, that they don't realize that. And a lot of people are just spending money with things that they don't want necessarily, or things that don't provide transformation, or things that they're just used to buying, or people will spend $200 on eyelashes every month, but they won't spend that on their spiritual health. So, you know, it's a complicated thing, but yeah, that's my answer.
Yeah, I think that's great advice for like anyone in any service-based practice, but especially with spiritual practices and setting boundaries and having that, because it is like you're providing something and you should get something in return. So that's great advice. And also, you've talked about how using tarot and astrology help you more deeply connect to your clairvoyant abilities. And I was wondering if you could talk more about that and how other people could connect to their abilities through using those tools.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I feel that real psychics or mystical people, I've kind of been given that term psychic because I have this thing where I can just guess people's astrological signs and their birth charts, and it's kind of just my thing. But I do believe that we actually all possess these abilities. It's mostly just about awakening them and allowing them to be a thing and claiming them. And I have realized that when I do a birth chart reading, sometimes I don't need the chart, which is really, really weird. Because if you think about the experience of having your chart read, like literally, like my readings are $375 an hour US. And that's a big investment for most people. And they see me online, they like my work, whatever. And they decide, okay, today's the day that I'm going to invest and I'm going to do this. And so I'm sleeping a lot of the times and I wake up and there's a reading booked. And I see Carol, she's 35 years old and lives in New York. And it's literally like I go on the call and I'm like, hello. And he's like, hello, I'm super excited for this reading. Great. Is there anything you want me to look at in particular? Sometimes they'll say, oh, I want to look at love and relationship. Can you look at my career? Can you tell me what I should do with my job and my life? I don't know what direction I'm going. Can you help me discover who I am? Like, blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, sure, great. Sometimes people are like, no, I don't have any questions. Just tell me what you see. And then all of a sudden, I'm telling them about who they are. Like, who the fuck am I? To just be like telling them about who they are, what they should do with their life. Like, and I'm just reading like a book. And it's, that is fucking that. So I'm swearing a lot today, but that is psychic abilities to me right there. Like the fact that you actually can read that. And then all of a sudden the the Carol's crying and she's like, oh my God, I've always wanted to be a graphic designer, or I've always wanted to do that, or you just gave me permission to do that. And I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know. Is that me and Luna and my special abilities, and, you know, or is it like, is that just the ego? And is the universe or the stars just literally channeling through me to help other people remember who they are and live a magical life full of alignment and happiness? I don't know. But what I would say is that I think it's just like a desire to tap into this energy. Like, as soon as you have a desire to do anything, you can make it happen. You can manifest it. You can work towards that. And I think, again, it all comes back to that clarity. And there's so many little things, right? Like reading books or just seeing what you're interested in, like clairvoyant abilities or psychic abilities. They can come from tea leaf readings. They can come from scrying. They can come from tarot. They can come from meditating. It can come from crystals. You know, it really just depends like what you'd be interested in and seeing where your unique magic lies, because my magic is going to be different from yours. And you know, yours is going to be different from theirs. And it's just, everybody has their way of relating to magic. And at the end of the day, like, you know, I got pretty into like clairs and psychic abilities and stuff like that at one point. And I was like, what am I doing here? Like, am I just like trying to like predict the future, to like pretend that my life is in control and I can just like, you know, I take control of my life and I'm more comfortable with this. And it's maybe that's what I'm doing. But I do believe that the reason that we're doing all of these practices, all this magic and whatever, is to feel at home in ourselves and to realize that we're on this earth like for a magical reason, and that our life just isn't some accident, right? That everything is happening exactly the way it's supposed to be. So that's where I get funny with psychic abilities, is really like tuning in, is like, what are you trying to do here? Like, what is this? Like, what are your intentions? Because I can predict events and I can predict the future and I can predict like certain, like who your lover is going to be and when you're going to meet them and all that. But at the end of the day, we're just looking for assurance. We're just looking for self-assurance, and we're looking for that trust and that compassion. And I do really believe in cultivating those skills in your own body without necessarily seeking it externally. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Do you believe with like the future that it's set in stone, or do you believe that it's like always going to be changing because of people's decisions and the things that affect that?
Damn, this question. Yeah, so I feel that I'm like, here we go. I'm strapping on my boots and we're doing it. So this is the thing, is when you are a student of astrology and you get to a certain point of your studies, you will start to have this question, this fate of free will, this fate, this question of destiny, this question of, do I even have any agency in my own life? Or is everything just happening to me? What about the future? Can I predict the future? Or am I actually just looking at a transit, reading my own birth chart, predicting the future and thinking that that's the future? But is that the transit actually that I'm just predicting the future? So it can get a little bit like heady and a little bit esoteric. But in terms of like the future, what I found is, especially with tarot, is when you pull the cards, there's like everything. I believe that everything in every moment is sacred, and we're constantly having a conversation with the universe. And when we have intentions, because we're always doing things, but when we have intention, that's what creates a sacred space. That's what creates a ritual. And that's what actually can change the course of our life, is when we quote unquote wake up, right? We're conscious, we are aware, we are setting intentions. So the concept of tarot, for example, is you're sitting down maybe by yourself or with someone and you're like, hey, universe, I have a question, right? Or, hey, can you tell me something right now? And simply the act of doing that can have an effect on your future, right? You pull certain cards and you read it and you're like, okay, maybe this is going to happen, and you put it away. Or you pull an oracle card and you're left in tears at how perfect it is and how you can't believe that this is the exact card for you. And that I could almost argue would be in your birth chart. That process could be calculated back to an astrological transit that you would be experiencing. So are you, with free will, going to try and read your own destiny in your future? Or is that just happening to you? And do you actually create that future to happen? Or do we think that we have free will and that everything is happening exactly as it's supposed to be? So that, I don't know. I don't really know. But I do believe that when we do things like obviously have a birth chart reading or tarot, or those are like supposed to be some of the most impactful moments of our lives. Like for me, it was every time I get a tarot reading with someone I'm like super connected with, because I just do it for fun, even though I can read my own cards. Same with astrology. Like I obviously have mentors, and you know, when I do that, it changes the course of my life for sure. So I will say yes to that, but I'm also ready for that. You know, at the same time, I also choose that. And I also get like kind of giddy about the future and manifestation and stuff like that. Some people say, oh, it's not good to do that. It's not good to look at transits because you'll self-prophesize or you'll do this or that. And for me, it just gives me a lot more clarity and it makes me a lot more grounded. I don't know, I'm a Pisces though, so it helps me understand reality rather than get more in my head about it. But for some people, it's like a little bit more heady. It's like, oh, I just want things to just happen. I just want it to flow. I don't want to think about it. And for me, it's like, I feel like I can be prepared. You know, it's like with when 2020 was happening, I was known as the girl who predicted COVID and whatever. And I was like, I didn't really predict COVID. I just read the energy of the year and knew shit was going to go down and that this was going to be a crazy year. And so I just prepared. I wasn't like freaking out and, you know, being like, why, you know, it was just like, I was just preparing. So I do think it's actually more intelligent to be in tune with these types of energy and using intention rather than just making decisions and trying to do things all the time, like we're doing anyways. So actually just being intentional is what I'm saying. Does that resonate?
Yes. Yeah. And I think if you get too caught up in like fate versus free will,
yeah,
then that's all you're going to focus on. And totally, it doesn't really matter, because no matter what, you're going to be making decisions, and no matter what, it might be set in stone and it might not be set in stone. So it's like, it doesn't, to focus on it is kind of just losing the point, because you're getting stuck in the future then.
Totally. And you know, it makes me think of like my partner and I are in like the soulmate relationship that we've been together for 5 years and whatever. And we always say to each other, oh, we're going to be together forever. And I love you so much. And me and you, baby, like Capricorn Pisces lovers forever. And I literally, if something were to happen, and you know, let's say the worst case scenario, like he just leaves me for another woman or something, like just worst case scenario, and I trust in that too, you know, like I just trust in everything. And I just, as much as we try to control and much as we try to hold on and as much as I would like to believe that we're going to be together forever and have this family and do all whatever, that I'm also just, I trust in the future of my life. I trust that if he's not going to be my man anymore, then I'll meet someone else, or maybe I'll be alone for a bit. Or like, there's something about the timing of life and that future that we want to hold on, you know, we want to hold on, we want to know. And like, obviously that's what astrology is. It's fucking telling you, hey, this is what's going on right now. And people are like, oh, thank you. You know, thank you for explaining that. Thank you for seeing me. Like, I don't feel crazy anymore. And I think like, it all comes back. That's what astrology does for me. It's just like so much trust and so much self-compassion and so much understanding. It's like I could finally feel seen for the first time. So I think whatever practices help you feel seen and safe and held is the practice for you, rather than just like instilling more anxiety or trying to be good or trying to do it for vanity or trying to look amazing on Instagram or whatever it is. Like, I don't think that that's the point of all of this.
Yes, I agree. I was looking at your website and you talked about how you used to work at a homeless shelter and how heavy and draining that work was. I was wondering if you had any advice for others who were working in similar environments and how they might be able to protect themselves from that type of energy.
Yeah, I learned a lot when I was working at the shelters. I also learned that I should be doing astrology as a career when I was connecting with all the homeless people with astrology. They loved it. But I think that like energy practices, I mean, you're talking to a Pisces, right? So this is definitely like the domain that I rule is like boundaries and sensitivity and all of that stuff. And I think like there's so many different tools, but really knowing your own energy, like coming into those spaces, how are you feeling? What's going on for you right now? Are you even prepared to do that type of work? Because sometimes I just call in sick because I'd actually be like, I cannot go there today because it's so intense. But I worked at, like I was in Canada, and we have like Indigenous culture here. So we were allowed to sage. So I would actually go into the bathroom and sage myself. Or if I had like a really heavy situation, I would wash my hands. Some practitioners like always wash their hands after they work with clients. So that's always like a nice little ritual. Or even just energetic protection, like picturing a shield or a bubble or something around you that is impenetrable, breathing, meditating, taking like a 15-minute break, like calming down, journaling. I used to have tarot in my bag at all times, and I was, you know, trying to ask questions and pulling cards and things that just made me feel grounded. I think it's really about like having a toolkit of knowing what you like and what makes you feel grounded and pulling out that toolkit again with no expectations, which is funny as well, because a lot of times you're like, I'm feeling crazy, I'm gonna go into ritual space, and then you go into ritual space and you're like, why aren't I feeling better? And I think it's also just about like also releasing attachments at the same time and just doing what feels natural. Like my intuition like really really guides me, and so that's, yeah, I think it's very unique to the person. And just like managing space also comes from knowing your own energy and what you allow and what you don't allow and what makes you feel better.
Is there anything specific that called you to astrology?
It gave me purpose for sure, but I think like I just read what it meant to be a Pisces when I was like so, so young. And I just felt totally seen. Like I felt broken open for the first time. And I think astrology more just showed me who I was and gave me infinite permission to be myself, and understanding that I was a Scorpio rising and a Leo moon, and I was so much more than my sun sign. And I had this whole chart. It was literally like, still to this day, like it's like meeting myself again and again, or seeing myself for the first time, or giving myself that permission. Or I just feel like I have an actual guide, like an actual roadmap to life. And it's been the most incredible thing ever. So what drew me to astrology was astrology. And I still feel like, you know, I had this, this client who had this connection with this guy, and she's like, I don't know if he's into me. And, but it was like, I feel that there's vibes. Like, I don't know, just intuitively. So I was like, let's look at his chart. And he had Mars and Venus, the two planets like of love and sexuality, in Capricorn in the eighth house. And so I was like, okay, well, this is a lover who is not going to act on his feelings, right? He's going to like wait until the time is right. He's going to act out of integrity. He's going to be checking you out for a while. And he's going to be seeing if you're like, I literally just like, I had a whole map of this dude. And she's like, that's literally him. And I was like, but it's in the eighth house, right? It's in the house of sex and darkness and mystery. And so I was like, it could be a really amazing lover. And sure enough, like a month later, all of a sudden, like 0 to 100, he confesses his love to her. And she actually had this roadmap where she could just play it cool. And she knew exactly what to do and how to behave around him. And I'm like, this is literally everything. Like, how are we not freaking out? Like, we can understand all the people around us. We can understand ourselves. We can understand, like, I literally feel like astrology has given me answers to anything I've had questions to. And even if I don't know the exact answer of when and why and how, I will get a general overview of the energy, what to expect and where to go. And that's literally all I can ask for. So my obsession with astrology will never die, because it just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, that's awesome that you found something you're so passionate about, but also that like gives you the answers that you're looking for and helps you feel so I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but like secure, I guess.
Totally. I love that you use that word. I've been channeling secure attachment styles lately, so it's really resonant.
Yes. And it's like such a, like, you don't want to be comfortable in life necessarily, because then that kind of means that you're like not doing anything and you're not changing. But feeling secure is like really important, I think.
Totally.
I was also wondering, I know on your site you talk about how you help others with confidence and building their confidence. And do you have advice for how other people can build their confidence or gain more confidence?
Yeah, I obviously, like, if you've been listening this far, probably think I'm a pretty intense person. But I think that confidence is, we always teach what we learn, right? That's just like what we do. So obviously confidence was something that I learned as a little shy baby Pisces. I was very insecure, very questioning myself, still to this day do. But I think confidence is not skill sets that you learn. It's actually a remembrance, and it's actually a permission slip and a unraveling of your natural state. Because as babies and children, we're not embarrassed about being naked. We're not shy about singing or painting or dancing. We're just exploring. And I think it's more about coming back to that natural state. And obviously, like, I help like my clients like one-on-one do this, and it's all very unique to the person of like, why did you lose that in the first place? And once you regain that, then you actually have a new lifestyle. So it's not actually a skill set. It's the same with intuition. It's not that you're like learning how to be confident. You're actually just confident. And that confidence is a deep form of self-love. It's the deepest form of self-love you can have, because shyness isn't really a thing. Like, it's shyness is only like the fear of self-expression. So that's what shyness is. And I think like really doing shadow work and really asking questions of like, okay, where did I get this? Like, where did I lose this sense of who I am and who I'm naturally here to be? A lot of times you can go to the birth chart and see, where's my Chiron, right? Like, what's that doing? The wounded healer, or what's my chart? Is it, how's it operating? And what state have I been operating in? And you go from there, you know, you really give yourself so much compassion and all of this stuff. But people say, oh, okay, yeah, just have a self-love practice. Just look in the mirror and do like, I say, I love you and you're so beautiful, and you don't actually feel it when you're looking in the mirror. Or, you know, maybe you like, you're trying to lose weight, but you can't do it. And it's really difficult. And what is that? What do you do then? Like, that to me is where the confidence comes. And the confidence is knowing that you are who you're meant to be in every moment, and there's nothing wrong with you, that everything's perfect. And so that's actually a deep, deep self-love practice, where all of this stuff where you're not supposed to love yourself, where you've been told that you're not good enough, or that you're not smart enough, you're not skinny enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not loud enough, you're not whatever. And that's then the self-practice is like looking in the mirror and being like, I love you anyways. That is the confidence. That is the love, is not the opposite of what we've been told, which is a negative self-talk equals improvement. That's the narrative we've been told. If I'm just hard on myself and I just beat myself up, then I'll get better. But actually, we're always trying to get better. So we need to rewrite that narrative into saying, well, what if I speak to myself like I'd speak to a child? Oh, you're sad? What's wrong? You know, oh yeah, that sucks. Like, oh yeah, I know, it's been a hard day, and don't worry. And like, that's how we need to actually communicate with ourselves. Like, if there's a scared kitten in the corner and it's like shaking, you're not going to be like, come here, kitten, like, give me some love, like meow, meow, meow. No, you're going to be like, here, kitten, like, here's a little bit of food, you know, and you can come out when you're ready. And it's really safe here. And so I think that's actually the same journey with confidence building.
You find that like the more you trust your intuition and get in touch with your intuition, the more confidence you gain, and it goes hand in hand.
Yeah. I'm literally like, you caught me at a really funny time in my life, because I'm literally having like the best days of my life. And all I've been saying is how, like, it makes me want to cry. Like, I've just been feeling so in touch with my intuition and with astrology lately that I just feel so grateful. Like, I just feel so infinitely grateful, and how everything externally was saying to not trust my intuition, and everything around me was like confused, or I was doubting it. And that inner intuition was so strong. And it was like, no, you fucking know this. Like, you know this. And it's been like 5 months in the making of like trusting and into my intuition on a specific topic. And then it just blooms and it manifests. And it's like, I knew it from day one. And that is just the most amazing feeling in the world, because it's a reclamation of your power. And it's something that nobody really understands. It's kind of just like me in Luna Land, you know, where I'm having these magical experiences, and I even try to share it with people, and they're like, whoa, that's crazy. But at the end of the day, it's like, it's just me. I'm the only one that truly understands the magic of intuition and of my intuition. And I think that it is the most powerful and healing thing that we can cultivate. That is, you don't have to study astrology. You don't have to do these embodiment exercises. You don't have to learn how to memorize the tarot or crystal meanings. It's like, it's literally just inside of you, and deciding that you're going to be intuitive can be that easy. Obviously we have blockages and things to work through, but it just starts with that for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. And like, for me, I think that's what really brought my confidence even more to the surface. But like, you really have to have full trust in yourself, and if you're like following your intuition, because a lot of other people are going to be like, that's crazy, that doesn't make any sense, why are you doing that, you know? So I think that's the biggest confidence builder for sure, and it'll help people a lot. But I was also wondering, what does your witch academy that you offer entail, and who is it best suited for?
Oh, yeah, I'm actually going to be launching the witch academy soon for the new year, for January-ish 2023. I'm going to be opening enrollment in December. So if you're wanting to join, just send me a message on Instagram. But yeah, it's for women who are wanting to start doing magical practices and ritual in a sacred space with a coven of other women who are also doing that. So we start with learning about how to build your altar, how to do spell casting. We learn about the phases of the moon and how to manifest during the different cycles. I also teach astrology and the foundations of understanding all of the signs and all of the planets, and just to have like that foundation. And then I also teach tarot. So I teach all of the cards, and being able to read professionally and what that entails. So it's a really incredible container. It's been the most amazing thing that I can't believe that, yeah, this is what I do. But it's for people who just want to get started in this world with the help of a guide, and to make sure that they're actually doing it right. And someone who just doesn't want to spend hours and hours and hours trying to research, or just try and get like free things here and there, you know, but actually just have all the information delivered in one space. And we practice together what we learn. So we have the module, and then we meet, and then we practice on each other, or we ask questions, or we do the rituals together. So it's really incredible. And I would love to have anyone who's listening and resonates with this, because it's so fun.
Yeah, it sounds really fun. I had someone on before, and she did something similar with like rituals, where they would do like a group ritual, and she was saying how cool it was to see how, even though they were doing the same ritual, everyone's turned out differently.
Totally.
So I think that's really, I think it's interesting, like how many groups, like covens almost, happen over the internet now, and like over Zoom. It's really funny. I was also saw on your website that you talk about healing the witch wound. And could you talk about what that means and any advice you have on healing?
Yeah, so with the witch wound in general, I mean, yeah, my witch academy is for women who are ready to identify as being a witch, because I believe that women in particular, we have gone through a lot of trauma and a lot of repression and even murder, and women weren't even considered women for a very long time. We had to be under the law of a man. And I believe that all of this stuff, especially witchcraft and all of this, got created to repress the feminine. So the church seeing witchcraft as evil, the witch trials, all of that relates to sisterhood wounds and to coming out as mystical wounds. So a lot of people, they don't want to reclaim the word witch, because when you think of a witch, there's a green, scary lady that's like casting evil spells and she's just disgusting. And so actually the reclamation of the word witch is the reclamation of your own power. And that is super terrifying to the patriarchy and to the church. So long story short, I believe in healing this DNA, this trauma that is passed down in our bodies, where I've worked with tons of people who are extremely mystical and can't come out in public with that because we are afraid of getting murdered or being outcasted. Like, this is a very real thing, that epigenetics are actually a thing. So that's essentially what the Witch Academy does, is it wants to, yeah, it's not just like doing magic and that's fun and stuff. It's like, what are we doing here? We're actually like healing generational trauma, and we're reclaiming our power as women and being connected to our psychic abilities and altered states of consciousness is actually very threatening to the status quo. So I think that like beginning to heal that is being in ritual, is being with other women, is healing sisterhood wounds, is doing magical things together, because I do think, like I said, it's threatening because it's fucking amazing. And it's the best feeling in the world to feel held by other women and to feel powerful and to heal together and to cry together and to laugh together. So that's my medicine. But yeah, I was also like outcasted really badly as a child. So having that, it just feels like the best thing in the world. So yeah.
Do you have any advice for someone who might be like feeling that right now? Like they're the only one who's interested in this, you know, maybe like in their town or something, and no one else is around them that shares the same interest?
Yeah, I think that this is actually quite common. Like a lot of people who join my Witch Academy, this is very much their reality. And that's the magic of the internet, is you can find community and you can find like-minded people. You just have to find them. Or even if you are in a town and you feel like a little bit alone, like I think the best is going into your local metaphysical shop, if there is one. If there's not, again, you're going to have to resort to online or go traveling or something. But if there's a local metaphysical shop, you can see what events are happening there. You can just talk to the person in the shop, and really just making yourself known. Like, I think that there's like the thing with like friendships and wanting to do magical things and wanting to connect with other people, is people think that like, oh, I just can't find any friends, I don't know what they are. It's like, you have to find them. You have to also like message people and ask them to hang out. You have to go to Facebook groups. Maybe you look up like Witches of Florida or something, and you know, or magical people or this. You have to start looking around and making it like a priority. So that's what I would recommend. Also, podcasts are like really helpful. Feel like you have a friend and learning things. Like, I also have a podcast called Words Are Spells, if you like my rants. And yeah, like I just think it's like there's a desire to really look for it. Like, once you look for it, it will find you. Because yeah, like I said, I was someone who was very outcasted. And then after a while, I healed that. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm amazing. I'm ready to have some friends. But I also like went out and looked for them. And now it's almost funny to me to think about, not being able to find my tribe, because my tribe is worldwide. My tribe is everywhere. And like, I am my tribe and my tribe is me, and I just feel them around me. And it really is just like the vibration of your own energy. So it's great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel the same way though. It is like, you have to reach out to those people. You can't just sit back and be like, well, I'm just going to wait for everyone else to find me. So I think that's great advice. Like, reach out, research it, use the internet, find other groups, and you won't be alone at all, because it's really actually huge. And it's amazing how many people are interested in witchcraft and spirituality. You just don't realize it, because it's not something people go around, like, you know, putting stickers on their cars necessarily, or boasting about it, like maybe other stuff. So, one question that I ask every guest is, what does magic mean to you?
I'm laughing because I feel like that was just like our whole conversation. Because magic is just everything and everywhere and happening at all times. In my opinion, I think that life is just magical. I think intention is magic. I think that you're magic, I'm magic, life is magic, and astrology is magic. And magic is whatever you want to make it, you know? And if you want to live in magic, or you want more magic, like, you just have to call it in and it'll find you. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. Everyone always has a different answer.
Of course.
All right. Last question is, what's something magical that happened to you this week? And it can be something actually magical. Yay! It can be a synchronicity, or just something like kind.
Oh my God. Well, I'm laughing because I've probably had the most magical week of my life, but it is very personal and I'm such an open book. Like, I barely have a filter, but I'm like, this one thing is like the one thing that I can't share, because like, not that many people in my life know about it. So I'm like, okay, what else is magical? Cause that's been taking like the forefront of my life. Oh man, it's been so magical though. Okay. I think that just my friendships lately have been feeling really magical, and I have been going through this like really exciting time that I'm not gonna talk about. But I think it's like just been feeling really magical of how many women I have in my life that I can reach out to, and it's not overwhelming. It's like, okay, like, I have my mom I can be really open to, and my sister, and my best friend from Victoria, and my best friend in Bali, and then like a girlfriend here in Nelson, and then, oh, I can video chat this person. And that just, it brings me to tears to think about how magical the sisterhood is that we have, and how I was getting all this advice from all these different powerful women that just like kept rooting me and anchoring me like into my truth and into my intuition, and different sources of inspiration and of teachings that seemingly came from nowhere. And but yet I've actually curated this life, and I've curated these relationships. But that was feeling really magical to me today. But I also just feel like I have like magical moments when I like walk outside in the streets and it's snowing outside now. And I was just living in a fucking tropical country. I was living in Bali for a few years, and people probably think I'm crazy. People thought I was crazy for moving to Bali. People thought I was crazy for leaving Bali. And now Luna is in the snow. Like, it's, and so I'm finding that the snow is really magical right now.
Awesome. My favorite thing when I used to live in Chicago where it snowed was waking up before anyone had like walked in the snow, and it was still the perfect like blanket of snow. That was always my favorite thing about the winter.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I'm new to snow. Like I said, I'm a kind of like a tropical beach goth. So I'm learning to accept, and I'm being interested in the seasons now. So not just running away to the sunshine. So
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had such a great time talking with you, and I will have links in the show notes so people can find you and learn more about you or possibly enroll in your Witchy Academy.
Yay. Thank you so much. This was so fun. And yeah, just feel free to send me a message on Instagram if you want to connect. I'm Luna Veronica Mystic with some dots in between, but please be careful of spam accounts. There is a lot of weird ones of me. I'll never DM you first or ask for money or anything. It's just important to say that. But you can just message me and say hi and just connect. I love meeting you guys and I'm a real person. So yeah. And you can tag me in this episode if you liked it. And yeah, it's just sending you all so much love.
I hope you enjoyed this episode with Luna and learned a bunch about astrology and witchcraft. There will be links in the show notes. Make sure to follow Everyday Witch Pod to stay up to date. Also, rate and subscribe to the podcast. Thank you for listening, and don't forget, you are magic.